All right, let's take our Bibles and turn with me to Genesis 16. Genesis 16. I'd like for us to look at the next verses in this passage of Scripture, going verse by verse through the book of Genesis. And it's verses 7 to 9. So I'm going to read this. I've entitled this message, Hagar, A Type of God's Elect. Hagar, a type of God's elect. Genesis 16, verse 7, And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou? And whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you, for this blessed time to meet together and to have the privilege to hear the gospel. I pray that you'd bless it. I pray that you'd forgive us. I pray that you'd watch over us, keep us, according to your good pleasure, for Christ's sake. Amen. Now we have an event that's set forth in this passage of Scripture that takes place in a wilderness between Canaan and Egypt. Hagar fled from the face of Sarai because of the tension that was created by between these two women. Sarai, being barren, had given Hagar to her husband to be his wife in hopes of having a son, having an heir. God had promised Abram an heir, said that his seed would be as the stars of the skies. If you could count the stars, then you'll be able to count your seed. And Hagar is now found with child. Now, concerning Hagar being given to Abram by Sarai to be his wife, that's what it says in verse 3, latter part. After Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, he gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. Now, I want to make a couple of points on Hagar's relationship to Abram. I looked up the words, and it says that the wife of Abram, verse 1, now Sarai, Abram's wife, and then it says in verse 3 that we just read, gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. I told you last time I looked those words up, the same word. It's the same identical word. It does say wife. But I want to make note, too, concerning some relationships that were stated between different ones. Number one, the Spirit of God in verse 4. Spoke of Sarai as being Hagar's mistress. Now look at verse 4. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Now who said that? The Spirit of God said that. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God moved upon holy men, and the Spirit of God, as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the Spirit of God said that Hagar was Sarai's, Sarai was Hagar's mistress. That means her lady, her queen. And then in verse 5, Sarai referred to Hagar as being her maid. Look at verse 5. And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. Now that word maid right there, here's the meaning of that. It means female slave or woman servant. And then Abram acknowledged Hagar in verse 6 to be Sarai's maid. Same one. Look at verse 6. But Abram said unto Sarai, behold thy maid. He didn't say my wife. He said, thy maid is in thy hand to do as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dwelt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And then in verse 8, which Lord willing we'll look at next time, the angel of the Lord God himself, said the same thing concerning Hagar. Look in verse 8 and says, and he said, we will look at this tonight. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? So obviously, Hagar, though the word is actually wife, he gave her to wife. The relationship spoken of between Sarai, Abram, the Spirit of God, and the angel of the Lord set Hagar to be in a different relationship. She wasn't a wife as Sarai was to Abram. But now being with child, that relationship between the two women has deteriorated and Hagar has fled from the face of Sarai. Now, we looked a time or two ago at what picture was set forth by Hagar. She was between Hagar and Sarai. That was an allegory. We looked at that, Galatians chapter 4. And Hagar is without a doubt a picture of attempted salvation by the works of the law. We looked at that. That's what that allegory, it's either law or grace. It's either man's work or God's work. Man's will, God's will. She was an allegory. She was part of this allegory. This allegory that was setting forth, and her part in that allegory was she pictured salvation by law, or attempted salvation by law, by the works of the flesh shall no man be justified. But she's also a picture of God's elect and how God rescues his people, his vessels of mercy. Now, I don't want to make a bold statement concerning Hagar's true spiritual state before God. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that Hagar was a believer or that she wasn't a believer. But what I would like to consider is that marvelous picture that's set forth by Hagar and the Lord's dealing with her. I've spoken to quite a few and read quite a few writers that all seem to feel that Hagar was one of God's elect. That may be. I don't know. God knows. But I want to look at the picture that's set forth concerning her. Now, let's look back at these verses for a few minutes. Verse 7. And here's how the Lord deals with his people. This is how God saves his elect. Now, the angel of the Lord. Verse 7. The angel of the Lord. Now, this angel can be none other than the Lord of glory himself. The Lord Jesus Christ. The angel of the covenant, the messenger of the covenant. Because look in verse 10, what this angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord said. Verse 10, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. Now, none but the Lord himself can multiply and give life. The Lord, he said, I will do it. If he would have said, this angel would have said, the Lord shall. But that's not what he said. He said, the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply. So here we have God himself, the angel of the Lord. And notice what he did. He said in verse 7, the angel of the Lord found her. The angel of the Lord found her. Now, Hagar wasn't seeking for the Lord. Hagar wasn't searching out God. Romans 3:11 says, there's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. What was Hagar doing? Fleeing. She was fleeing, just as every man, every woman born in Adam, what they do is they flee. The Lord was the one that found her. And he found her in particular. Now, I would suppose, I don't know, but I would be willing to assume that she wasn't the only one in that whole country of Shur. She was in the wilderness of Shur. In particular, he found her. She was the one that he came for. The angel of the Lord found her. Here's the great shepherd of the sheep, one who leaves the 99 and goes out and finds the one lost sheep. And he found her. Look where he found her. It says the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. Now she's in the wilderness. And she's fleeing from Sarai, yet fleeing in her mind from tension. There's some problems in the house, and she's not going to stay there, but she's fleeing from the only place where there was any hope. She's fleeing from the place where God was pleased to raise up a people. I don't know how many believers there were at that time. But I do know what Abram was there, and I know Sarai was there, and that was the only place. That was the only place that was mentioned where an altar was being used in the sacrifice of the sacrifices unto the Lord. The only place where the gospel was faithfully being proclaimed and where God was honored. And that's where she was leaving. That's where she was fleeing. The only place where there was any hope. And she's going, she's leaving. And is that not the state? Is that not the action of every man by nature? But until God's pleased to arrest him, even the vessels of his mercy, that's what they're going to do. And unless God stops them, there's no hope. There's no hope. She's leaving. She's fleeing. She's out there in the wilderness. And here the Lord himself is pleased to cross her path. And comes to her in power and truth. Hagar was doing exactly what she wanted to do. We always do. We do just exactly what we want to do. She wanted to leave. But she was where she was according to the will and purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Don't ever think that you just happened to show up here. You didn't just happen to show up. No. He worketh all things. All things. Hagar is in the wilderness, exactly where the Lord placed her, where he directed her, that he might teach her something of herself. Placed her in that place by God's own provision for her sustenance. The scripture says she was found by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. Now, what mercy. She's out there in the middle of nowhere. But there's a fountain there. A fountain that's on the way to Shur. Obviously, there were some other fountains, but this particular fountain is the one, if you were going to Egypt, it was by the fountain in Shur that led to that place that her heart desired. She wanted to go home. That's where she was from. She wanted to go back. She wanted to go back to that place. And the scripture declares that's where the Lord found her, fleeing back to that place of idolatry, fleeing back to those gods. And here the Lord met her right there. There's a fountain. There's some water there. But what graciousness and compassion that God Almighty would place her in that spot where there'd be something to drink. She was like Gomer. Here's what Hagar's doing. She's mad at Sarah. Probably mad at Abram. Tension. I'm out of here. I ain't staying. I'm going back home. I'm going back to Egypt. I'm going back to that place of bondage. I'm going back to that place where there's no gospel. Darkness, depression, anxiety. And here's where God found her. And she's by a fountain where she's got something to drink of refreshment. And she's like Gomer. Now, if you remember Gomer, God had told the prophet Hosea. He said, I want you to take a wife of the women of whoredom. I want you to find a harlot. I want you to find a harlot and marry her. And Gomer was continually found to be of that wandering spirit. Unfaithful. And a type of all God's elect in Adam before conversion. And Gomer was being provided for. She'd have gifts. She'd have food. She'd have all these wonderful gifts. She'd find them, you know, at her doorstep. She'd find them there. And she always attributed all of these gifts to her lovers. My lovers gave me this. They just appreciate me so much. And it was Hosea that was giving her all of those gifts. And she would attribute them to those that she was being unfaithful with. But here, that is Hosea as a type of Christ that has been taking care of his people. Here was Hosea, a picture of the Lord, taking care of Gomer in her unfaithfulness, providing for her, giving her what she needed. Those other, her lovers, they didn't care about her. They had no love for her. Hosea loved her. And here's Hagar, at least for sure a picture. And she's by this fountain. And there's a picture of the provision of the Lord. She's out there in the wilderness like we all are by nature. And how the Lord took care of us. How many times have I told you before when I think back and I think of, and you're, all of you that know Him, you can relate to this. Before the Lord called you out of darkness, how He watched over us and kept us. How many times in my stupidity, I think back on things that I've done. I thought, man, I could have got killed doing that. Things that I thought, you know, nothing of at the time. But how the Lord preserved me, kept me, as He does all of His people. And all of these blessings before we even knew Him. So where did He find her? She's in the wilderness. Oh, but she's by the fountain in the wilderness. The fountain that goes to the way to Egypt in Shur. And how did God, hold your place right there and turn to Hosea. Ezekiel, Daniel, Amos. Hosea's right after Daniel. Look at Daniel. Hosea 2:14. This is what God said. Hosea 2:14. And He's telling Hosea, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do for Hosea, but I'm going to do this to Gomer. Look at verse 14. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. God took Gomer and brought her into a place of the wilderness, that he could speak to her heart. And he did that for Hosea's sake, as a picture and type. And here, as the Lord brings us to a realization of where we are in the wilderness and speaks comfortably to us, speaks to our heart. It just, we were just like Hagar. We're just like Gomer, going astray, happy, fleeing, longing to. And the angel of the Lord, the angel of the covenant, found us in the wilderness of our rebellion, and by great mercy delivered us from going down to the pit. Why? Found a ransom. And so he allows those who are his in their wandering to be brought to themselves, to remember something of their folly and their rebellion born in Adam, and to see something of the depth of the depravity from which we've been delivered, our desperate need for him. And now, having found her, back in Genesis chapter 16, having found her, the scripture says in verse 8, and he said, now listen to this, Hagar, Hagar. He called her by name. The scripture says in John 10:3, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. He called her personally, called them by name, but then he called her and humbled her. He said, Hagar, Sarai's maid. He knows his own. He knows that we are dust. But these are the vessels of his mercy that's been given him from before the foundation of the world. Those that he's borne everlastingly upon his heart, that he stood for as their surety, and he answers for them and calls them personally and effectually. When the time of love comes, he calls them by his spirit and brings them to a true sense of who they are. Remember when Jacob was wrestling with the man, the Lord himself? Day was starting to break. And the Lord said to him, let me go. Jacob said, no. No, not until you bless me. And oh, how he blessed him. Listen to this blessing. Listen to this blessing. What's your name? My name is Jacob. I'm a trickster. I'm a liar. I'm a conniver. I'm a supplanter. He said, not anymore. Your name is Israel, a prince with God. That's your name. What a blessing. Hagar, Sarah's maid. And then he asked him a couple of questions after he humbled her, brought her to a sense of what she really is. He asked her these two questions. Number one, he said, whence comest thou? Whence comest thou? Where have you fled from? Where have you come from? Not that the Lord was ignorant of her flight. Not that he needed some information. But for all of us, that we might realize where we've come from. Where'd you come from? Well, the first thing I'm going to tell you, I've come from Adam. I come from the loins of Adam. He who died in the garden. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Marvin, where'd you come from? I came from my father Adam, and I'm just like him. I'm born a rebel. I'm a rebel by practice. I'm a rebel by birth. I'm a rebel by practice. I'm a rebel by choice. That's where I come from. That's where, you know, what a blessing that God would bring a man, bring a woman to say, this is where I come. This is where I've come from. I've come, not yes, from my father Adam, but I did this because this is what I wanted to do. I've come from a place of life and fellowship and peace and safety with God, born in my father Adam, but this is my desire. This is where I'm from. I'm from rebellion and disobedience. That's where I'm from. Hagar left the place of God's presence, God's peace, and communion. And then he asked her another question. He said, and whither wilt thou go? Where are you going? Where are you going? Well, she was going back to Egypt. That's where she's going. She's going back to worship the gods of darkness and death and danger and wickedness. And if the Lord left us to himself, let me ask you this, where would we go? I'll tell you exactly where we'd go. We'd go to the very throne of God, and the books would be open, and being found not in Christ without a hope, I tell you exactly where we're going. We're going to be bound hand and foot and cast into outer darkness. And there's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, where the worm never dieth, the spirit never dieth. That rich man that died and lifted up his eyes out of hell, he knew where he was. Where'd you come from and where are you going? But in mercy and compassion, grace, Hagar was made to be honest. She said, this is where I'm going. I'm fleeing from the face, now listen to this, of my mistress, Sarai. She knew who she was. The Lord brought her to a sense of herself. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm a sinner. It's where I'm going. Those called out of darkness of sin and unbelief are ever ready to own themselves for what they are and for what they've done. They're made to be honest. And the scripture says, and I'll close with this, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. Now, do we not see the mercy of God to draw this fleeing rebel that was fleeing from the only place, I'm telling you, the only place it's recorded where there was any gospel was there where Abram was in Canaan. That's where he was. That's God blessed him. And now here she's leaving. And she's like that prodigal son that was moved upon the Lord. He came to himself. Yeah, Hagar, Sarai's maid, where you come from? Where are you going? I'm leaving her. You go back. You go back and you submit yourself. And this is the word of the Spirit of God. You return unto him who is your Lord. You return to him. This is my beloved son whom I'm well pleased. You hear him. You go back. You go back. The Spirit of God gives a man a new heart. Removes that heart of stone. And he's willing in the day of God's power to go back. And that's the way that the Spirit of God deals with the vessels of God's mercy. And our rebellion, he comes to us compassionately. He finds us in the wilderness of sin, separation, because of our own pride and arrogance. But in mercy, he arrests us, stops us like he stopped Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, making us willing in the day of his power to come to Christ, to cast ourselves upon his mercy. He that cometh to me. That's what a believer does. He's continually coming to him. You know, a believer never looks, I came to the Lord years ago, not too long ago. They come right now. They come right now. Today, you go back and you submit yourself unto her. I pray that God have mercy upon us and give us a heart of understanding what the Lord has done to us. Hagar's state before God, I don't know. But I can tell you this, she's a beautiful picture of how God saves a sinner. And I pray that He have mercy and save one tonight for His glory and our good. Amen.